We are going to do a short gap study. I'm going to fill in for the month of January. I know you could see my ugly face another time. I'm sorry. But we'll fill in for January. Then in February, Patrick's going to begin a new study in the, I guess it'd be the winter quarter. And he will do that until the spring. So we look forward to that. So what I would like to do, and this kind of the bulletin article serves as an introduction to this class. I thought we could do, it's always tough in shorter studies for me anyway, to think about covering a topic. You want it to be a broad enough topic that you can cover it, that it'll take you 5 weeks to do. However, you can't be too broad that 5 weeks doesn't give you the time you need. So studying a book or something like that from the Word is tough. And then depending on the topic, does it line up? So what I thought we would do, if it's okay with you, is in this first study, maybe the first two studies, I want to cover this question of why I am a member of the Church of Christ. Hopefully this will be something practical for you. We as Christians get asked constantly, what denomination are you? How many have been asked that question? Everybody in here, right? You've been asked that question a time or two. What's the answer you give? Anybody want to volunteer what maybe an answer is you give to that question? I'm a non-denominational Christian, maybe. Yeah, non-denominational. Somebody else? I try to follow the New Testament. I'm just trying to be what they say in the New Testament. You know, it's an awkward question a little bit because, you know, that really, at least in my mind, I want to talk a little bit longer probably than the person wants to listen to me, because their question, that they're expecting like a brief answer. I'm a Baptist, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Pentecostal, or I'm Catholic. And so, as a Christian trying to be a New Testament first century Christian, well, I need a little time. Can you sit down for 30 minutes, an hour, and we can sit down and talk about it? But, you know, that's not what people are looking for. But sometimes that does happen. And that can actually be a good starter to what? A Bible study. You could use that as a springboard into talking about what the church really is from Scripture, if you have someone who's willing to listen. And I know that's not probably all the time or even most of the time, and it's probably rarely that somebody's that willing to sit down and really think about it, but when that happens, well, we need to be able to give an answer to that, right? So if I were to ask you, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? What would your answer be? There might be a lot of different answers to that. I hope we can talk about that as we go along in this study. So I want to do that for this week and next week. And then after that, I want to deal some questions that we don't deal with a lot. And I'll admit I haven't preached on them a lot. I want to deal with a couple more difficult questions, but questions people have. Like about, is it okay for a child of God to socially drink alcohol? Well, what does the Bible say? What is God's direction on that? And then, and depending on time, we'll see how much time. I would like to deal with a couple other topics along those lines. So that's what I hope to do in these 5 weeks that we have. All right. So when we talk about why am I a member of the Church of Christ, you know, when you go to Romans 16:16, Paul ends his letter by saying to the Roman Christians, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. And so typically when you think about a name, that's where the name Church of Christ comes from. I think there can be an easy trap in that, though. And I want to talk about that and why we need to be careful when talking to somebody, why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, that we talk about it not in a denominational sense, but in a biblical sense. I don't even want to use the name Church of Christ in a denominational way. Could we ever do that? Is it ever possible that we as members of the church could ever talk about the church in a denominational way? You think of ways that maybe you don't have to out yourself, but what are some maybe examples of ways that Christians sometimes mistakenly can talk about the church and give indication that it might be just a denomination among others? Okay. What does the church believe? As though we have some kind of manifesto, some kind of creedal book that determines what each Church of Christ says or teaches. Yeah, or my Church of Christer. I don't hear that one much, but I do remember there was a time when people would say that. I'm a Church of Christer. I know it's hard with the mass, but I like to have some interaction if we can. No, you're exactly right, Mormons. Why are we sometimes labeled as Mormons? Well, they call themselves the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. So sometimes there's that misalignment there. There's also a group called it's Church of Christ. What are they called? Your mom and dad used to go to it. United Church of Christ. And that's a denominational group. We could get into church history about that, but we won't do that. But you think about the different ways, and I'm sure as we talk, there may be other ways you maybe hear yourself or fellow Christians talk about the church. And not meaning to sound denominational, but sometimes we come across that way. What I think may be at play sometimes is you have Christians who don't, probably even Christians who have a proper understanding of the church and may even think of it as in a denomination. Now, I know some of the new hermeneutical movement, new biblical interpretation movement, they would even claim that the Church of Christ is just a denomination. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Now, I want to begin by saying, when I use the term Church of Christ, I don't mean it in a denominational sense. When we refer to the Church of Christ, what are we referring to? Well, it's the Church of Christ. We're just referring to the group of believers that belong to Jesus Christ. And so hopefully this we will explore in this study in a deeper way. But why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Well, number one, I'm a member because the Church of Christ is not a denomination, nor made up of denominations. And so when we speak about it, we need to be careful that we don't speak of it in that way. But when we talk about the Church of Christ, what we're talking about is the church that was established in Acts chapter 2. Upon the first sermon of Peter and the other apostles, those first 3,000 souls were added in verse 41. Were added to what? Well, to the Church of Christ. Now,
but
No, you're right. And I want to explore that in a kind of, when we talk about the membership part of it in a deeper way as we go on. But that is important, you know, and the way even we think about it. Identify.
Identify with the
same church. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm jumping ahead, but let's hold that, because that's a really important point. I want to build up toward that. But this idea of placing membership, and sometimes we that's another way we talk in a denominational way about Christians who've moved into a different area or for some reason are having to attend with a different group of Christians. Sometimes we talk about they're placing their membership here. Well, when we get to that, I want to think about, well, is that the right way to think about that? And I think those are really important points. Before we jump into all that, just to lay the groundwork, I want to talk about why the church is not denominational. Why the idea behind denominationalism is a corrupted practice of the New Testament. Why it's a misunderstanding of the structure and foundation of the church, of the Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will, and I want to talk about... begin here talking a little bit about what Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren as he is dealing with some denominationalism, if you will, that might be going on. Now, when we talk about denominationalism of the 21st century now, you know, as we're living in, that's not an idea that was present in the first century. The modern day denominationalism is foreign to the Bible, and we're going to explore why that is. But was there some division going on within the early church? There absolutely was. And they had to deal with the same kind of mindset that's present now, where people are trying to break up the church. If you go to the book of Ephesians, Paul's going to write about this. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Well, before we do that, let's back up just to set the groundwork in chapter 4. Go back to chapter 2. And... let's read. Let's read verse 13. Somebody read 13 through 16. Somebody read that, please.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh his enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross.
All right. So Paul here is speaking to a division that has grown in the church. Anybody know what it is? Anybody have a guess? Jew and Gentile. You have it's almost two groups forming within the Ephesian church. You have Christians who came out of Judaism, and you have Christians over here who came out of the Gentile world. And he talks about in verse 14, and verse 14 is kind of the key to understanding this. You notice there again, he says, Christ is our what? Peace. Well, What peace is he bringing to the church in Ephesus? Well, notice what he said. He's broken down by his death, burial, and resurrection. What? The dividing wall of hostility. What's he talking about, dividing wall of hostility? What hostility? The separation that had previously existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. Why did the Jews see themselves as different? Well, it's because they had the law of Moses. And they honestly saw themselves, and I'm talking in a general sense, as better than the Gentiles. Because look, we're the children of God. We have the law of Moses. We have the covenant of circumcision. And so as Christians were being added from the Gentile world, what were the Ephesians trying to do to them? Well, they were trying to tell them, now that you're a Christian, you have to be circumcised. And this false doctrine of trying to circumcise Gentile Christians was creating division in the church. You see it in Ephesus, you see it in Galatia, you see it throughout the church. Where this has become a real problem. Go read the book of Acts. And you see it come up over and over again. Where you have this problem of bringing together these two different groups. And it was causing division in the church. Now, go on to chapter 4. Somebody read chapter 4, 1 through 6. Going through verse 6, if you don't mind.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
So what's the word that keeps popping up throughout that text, or the idea that keeps popping up? What? One, referring back to what, though? The word that starts with a big U.
Unity.
Unity, right? So what's Paul trying to exhort the Ephesian Christians who are suffering with division to do? Come together to make peace, to unify. That you need to be one. And then he gives all these ones, doesn't he? He talks about verse 4, one body. Now what's that refer back to? That's the church. He's talking about the church, and he makes that correlation in the book of Ephesians between the body of Christ and the church, those being the same. He says there's one church, one body, one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, one hope, one call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Again, he's trying to emphasize this idea that all these things are to be unified, that they are to be one, that none of them can be divided off. You need to be united. This is the same kind of idea that he prays in John 17 when he's praying for unity of faith. And he talks about God, I think it's beginning about verse 14. It's either 14 or 21. He gets into a discussion about those who would believe upon the apostles' word. And he says that they be one as we are one. And so this idea of unity, Paul's making that call back. You need to be unified, not divided. There shouldn't be this separation between you. Now, the question becomes, okay, at what are they to be unified? At all cost? Is there anything that unifies them around? Well, that's why all the ones are there. He says there's one church. There's not a Jewish church of Christ, a Jewish church of God, and a Gentile church. There's not two churches. There's one. You can't divide yourselves up. Now, I could make a little bit of a Side note here, do we ever talk about the church in that kind of denominational sense? There's the church, and there's the white church, and there's the black church. There's the Hispanic church. Do we ever do that? We need to be careful about how we talk about the church in those senses. They go down to the white church, or they go down to the black church. We need to be careful about that. Talking, going back again, about how we talk denominationally, that's a denominational way to refer to the church. He says there's one church. You don't have a Jew church and a Gentile church. There's one. And then he goes through the rest of those. And he talks about the Spirit. You can't divide the Spirit up. There's one Spirit. Now, there may be different gifts given in the first century, different Holy Spirit supernatural gifts. He gave how many? Anybody know? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 12 through 14, I'm sorry. There are 9 gifts, but one Spirit. And the Spirit gave to whom he willed. But there was only one Spirit, though there were different gifts. And so he goes to that list, and he's just trying to call back to their mind, and all those things are to be unified, and all those things should be unifying. Denominationalism does the exact opposite. What does the word denominational mean? Well, we think about denomination. We often think about money, currency. We call it, it comes in forms of denominations. What does that mean?
Divided.
It's a $1 bill is not the same as a $5 bill. A quarter is not the same value as a dime. They're denominations. They're divisions of currency. Why do we have divisions of currency? Well, it makes us easier to do commerce, easier for us to trade with one another. If we all had the same value in money, it'd make it really hard to we'd all, you know, it would make it very difficult. And so we have denominations. And so money's divided up into different values. The church isn't like that. And just to kind of strengthen this idea, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Now, again, this is another book where he's going to spend a lot of time talking about divisions in the church. Now, we talked about in the book of Ephesians, they were divided how?
Nationality,
his, you know, where they came from. How are they divided up in the book of Corinthians? What was their struggle with division about? One of the ways is, and one of the very first things he talks about is who was their evangelist? Who was it that reached out to them and baptized them? And he's going to spend some time talking about that. Before we get there, let's go to, somebody read verses 10. Somebody read verses 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. Somebody read that. Okay, so Paul has gotten word that the Corinthians are creating these diverse groups within the church of Corinth. And people are dividing up in this first kind of section of 1 Corinthians over who taught them the gospel. And I guess the assumption is that some of them were saying, hey, look, I was taught by Apollos. But Peter taught me. Oh no, I was taught by Paul. And they're dividing themselves up, and then you got one group over here saying, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm not following any of those. And so you have these divisions that have formed in the church, denominationalism going on. And what does Paul say in verse number 10? He says, I'm making an appeal to you. I am exhorting you, brethren, that you what? That you all agree, and that there be how many divisions among you? No divisions. Not one. Don't divide yourselves up. There be no division. I mean, we talk about the clarity of Scripture sometimes. I mean, how much clearer could Paul make this idea of division being anti the message of Scripture? I mean, you can't say it any clearer than that. There be no divisions among you, but you be of the same mind and the same judgment. It's not that denominationalism is a bad idea. It's that denominationalism is condemned in Scripture. The very idea, the very essence of it. The church is not made up of divisions, of denominations. And so, why am I a member of the church? The church of Christ? It's because it's not a denomination. We're not dividing ourselves up. We shouldn't be. Better not be. It is the unified body of believers. Any other questions about that particular topic? Any clarity? If I've misspoken or anything. All right. Why am I a member of the church? Well, I'm also a member of the church because it adheres only to the Bible for instruction in righteousness. When we look at the Bible, and again, I don't want to use that term Church of Christ in a denominational sense. It's not a division among many divisions. But I'm talking about the church that we read about in Scripture. Now, we have out here on our sign, we have Church of Christ. On our bulletins, you will look and it says Church of Christ. I don't know if it's to say Sanford Church of Christ or Church of Christ of Sanford. We have it different labeled different ways on different documents. Now, it could be easy for people to get the idea that's just a denominational term. That we've put that out there, and that's the way we identify, the way we believe. This is our group of believers. When you think about the Bible, how does the Bible refer to the church? Does the Word of God give the church a particular name? Well, in Scripture, there are actually, and I have a document, I should have made a copy of it. There are, I think, over 100 different names, identifiers, given to the church. Did you realize that in Scripture there are over 100 different identifiers? Yes, and that's where we're going to come back to. But you're exactly right. Each one of those ways of identifying the church are going to show whom it belongs to. Now, when you look in Scripture, anybody know the first kind of identifier of the church early on? How were they identified? They were identified as the way. And that's what you read through the early part of the book of Acts. They were also known as a sect of the Jews. That's how outside people referred to them. They tried to see them as a division of Judaism. And that's what Paul is defending in Acts 26 against. That he's not just a sect among, he's not a denomination of Judaism. I referred to disciples, disciples of Christ. You will see the identifier, the church of God, the bride of Christ, the church of Christ. We read Romans 16:16. They're identified. Is it important that we have a name on the board? Why do we have a name out there? So we can be found, identified. Mm-hmm. Any other? Why do we have that? Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Now, could we use any of those list of names in Scripture, right? We could use any of those to identify ourselves. The problem would become, again, is it wrong to use Church of Christ? No, it's not, right? As long as we don't misuse the term, as long as we don't make it a denominational idea or refer to something that's denominational. But when we use the term Church of Christ, what are we trying to do? What is the attempt? To identify who owns us, who we are. We are the church. And I think the emphasis is not on church. It's on what? Of Christ. Showing who we belong to. Now, could we have a sign that just rotates through different names? We could do that. Do we need to do that? No, I don't think we need to do that. But we do need to be careful about how we talk about the church, that we don't make that a denominational term. And I think avoiding some of the pitfalls about talking about it that way is important for us as Christians. And so when we talk about the Church of Christ, again, we're not talking about a denomination among many denominations. We're talking about the church of the first century. So number two, why am I a member of the Church of Christ? It's because it's the church of the Scripture. It's the church of the Bible who adheres only to the Word of God for instruction in righteousness. In 1 Timothy... Chapter 3. Wait, I'm on the wrong one. All right, I'm seeing. That's not what I was looking for. Hold on just 1 second. I didn't write this one down. Oh, yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I should have this memorized by now in my times I've looked at this passage. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. When we look at the Word of God, we've read this a lot, so I know you're quite familiar with this. We'll end on this. Paul writing to Timothy says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. So Paul says that Scripture... That the Word of God is something that is produced by the will of God. It's produced through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon men. As Peter will say, as men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. And they produce this. And then he goes in and he says, it's profitable. It's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That... the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So What separates the Church of the Bible from all of the denominational world? It's its adherence upon the Word of God as its only instruction in faith and training in righteousness. We'll pick up there next week and finish this up. I just have a couple more points about this. And then, like I said, we'll get into some other topics as we continue on. Thank you so much.